Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning. And you're listening to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM, coming to you from the top of Burnaby Mountain here in sunny, scenic Burnaby at SFU. My name is Magnus Teevels. I'm one of your hosts for this morning.
Yes, joining Peter, me today, Peter R.H.
And coming in a little bit will be Stephen Fan, who's going to be talking to us about the Web Summit, which was a huge web and IT conference. Technology conference that took place in Vancouver. I heard there's something like 14,000 participants, which is maybe it's 1,400. I should check that. A lot of people, anyway. A big deal with a lot of fairly big names and attending, and a lot of discussion. Stephen was there. Our reporter Jesse Wentzloff was also there, so we'll be hearing a bunch of stuff coming from that. Interesting stuff. Technology is so sort of key in what's happening in our world these days that it pays to pay attention to what's coming down the pike there. What are you going to be talking about, Peter?
I'm going to talk. My topic is why I think Canada should have no military, and I'm going to have. I guess I won't. I have a few things to back me up. I feel so. That's my topic.
And all right. We have, of course, Gardening with Embark. And we're going to start off here with a fun little report about record stores and in Prince George. And it's from a series there it's doing about local businesses and local independent businesses. And certainly something you see traveling around these days if you're a little older is how the sort of, how much street-level shops have changed over the last 20 years. So many locations, so many businesses have disappeared. So many types of businesses have disappeared. You know, you really hardly see it all. Those are just small independent mom-and-pop shops anymore. It's almost always chain stores. You know, a lot of sort of local street-level retail is disappearing, I guess wiped out by Amazon and online shopping. You know, you see a lot of things that like dentist office, which are taking up prime street front real estate or in shopping plazas, which used to be, you know, something that happened in the upper levels of a, you know, specialized medical building or something like that. Now they're like a, you know, a fancy street front location.
Well, the Brentwood Mall doesn't exist anymore as a mall.
And another change is happening. You know, malls in the traditional sense, which used to be such a center of shopping, are all struggling, you know, in the same way that a traditional retailer like the Bay struggled. Yesterday was their last day of operations for being open to shop and sell the merchandise they had left over. 365 years of... The entity that is the company will still exist, at least until they decide to do something with it. But, you know, its current history is sort of coming to an end. It started, of course, as a fur trading organization and then shifted into, retailing in remote areas and then setting up the department store. And now all that's coming to an end.
Well, the department store era, I think, is over.
And along with it, it might seem like perhaps the mall era, too. You know, Brentwood Mall is still there, but, you know, the traditional indoor mall is gone now, and now they have this sort of outside sort of faux streetscape sort of thing. I mean, it's popular. It's the same thing you see at Park Royal Mall. I don't know if you've been over there lately, but, you know, the old mall, which was on the north side of Marine Drive or whatever that main road is nearly dead. and everything's over on the other side with the sort of clustered buildings and a bit of a kind of streetscape and stuff.
Me and Magnus are from the open air mall era, aren't we, Magnus?
Yes.
He's not. He doesn't want to admit it, but I prefer the open air mall, mm-hmm. which meant that when it was hot, you weren't like you were in the store. You were protected from the elements, but not going from store to store. They would have kind of an awning.
Yep.
And Oak Ridge was the last holdout in 1984. It was converted into the Mistral. No, now they're trying to do phase three. But I think the open air mall, I like. There was mm-hmm. something I really like about it.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And now they're kind of back. Welcome, Stephen.
Not to be confused with a strip mall, Magnus, though.
Yes.
Okay, just.
Wait. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, so malls. Apparently, HBC is no more.
Yep.
I don't know.
Anyway, we're going to get on to this report. This is about a record store in Prince George. Record stores are one of the few areas where it's almost entirely local and independent businesses that are doing record retailing these days. Of course, it used to be dominated by big chains here in Vancouver. A&B Sound was one of the big ones, and then there's like the row of record stores. I think it was on Seymour or Richards, can't remember, with an A&B and an A&A and a Sound the Record Man and some others.
I used to remember the giant pink HMV sign, mm-hmm. Burrard, which is actually very impressive. They didn't have very many records, but it was like a very impressive like physical store.
Yeah. Yeah, and all that was there in the early 2000s, but then very quickly disappeared. I guess with, you know, as we started to transition to digital music. Anyway, it's not all digital music these days, and there are still record stores. And this is about one in Prince George.
This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. Sifting through rumors and hearsay, it was difficult to pin down hard evidence on the significance of brick-and-mortar music retailers, also known as record stores, in our community. This CIFA Radio correspondent slipped through the grit-laden streets to interview representatives of the two remaining record stores in our community of Prince George, Clayley Tenay. One of the two, Sunrise Records, is part of a chain, so isn't really a local record store. And also, they didn't respond to my email. This narrowed down our options to exclusively cover the one remaining brick-and-mortar record store, Second Thoughts Buy and Sell, a location that nearly every musician in town frequents, or at least knows of. Tucked beneath the stretching shadows of a downtown parking garage, I stood across the street in its cool shade, where I could see a city bus pull away and reveal this gem sandwiched between the layers of cement. Who is this character? Larry Prasad, proprietor of a physical media distributor. What kind of person operates within the parameters of the free market to provide analog formats of audio, both new and previously loved pressings, of every genre? I entered. There, the reclusive but brilliant Larry Prasad presided over a cash register and declined to be interviewed.
How are you feeling so far, Larry? No comment. All right.
Yes, this is all I could get on record of this local gifted curator of music, Larry Prasad. However, there was a lone bystander available within the retail space willing to speak.
Andrew Marinus, M-A-R-I-N-U-S.
Andrew and I spoke while Larry shrank away from eye and ear contact behind the cash register. Where are we today, Andrew?
We're in Second Thoughts, downtown PG. Best store in the city, I would say.
Oh, what kind of store is it?
Secondhand media store, so music, DVDs, records, books about music and movies and so on. It's a nice cultural center for any of the local musicians, anyone who's a movie fan looking for things that you don't often find on the shelves.
What do you think the role of a record store is in the Prince George community? What do you think, what kind of a gap does this kind of place address?
The gap of knowledge. Like, there's so many excellent bands out there that people just don't hear about, and the proprietor of such a store, they have the knowledge that you can come in and ask, hey, I love this album, this band member, can you recommend something? And Larry absolutely can. Larry's helped me find a lot of bands and whole genres that I didn't know about a few years ago, so another reason to come on down. The bands Spoon and Hot Ship I both found here through high recommendations of Larry, and every single album that I've heard from either of them, just loving intensely.
What do you think is the importance of physical media and a place that sells records in this era of online streaming and digital music and the non-physical medium, which is so popular right now?
It's always worth having your own copy of something that you love, because the streams are not always reliable.
What was your favorite find in your experience at Prince George Record Stores?
It is a hard question. I mean, I first encountered LCD Sound System through here, Corner Shop, the band, through here. Happy Mondays, discovered just in the last few months, and loved their album Bummed. That's great post-punk, funk, psychedelic funk. The discoveries keep on coming. That's why I keep on coming back.
Thanks for your time, Andrew. I appreciate it.
I was stonewalled, but I had it on good authority that Mr. Prasad would be DJing an exclusive vinyl collection at Deadfall Brewing the very next Saturday after Second Thought's buy and sell closed. There, at the brewery, I could ensnare Mr. Prasad with my audio cables and coerce him to articulate the value of his efforts to the community and its music scene. After all, no one could say it better than him, though Andrew did a heck of a job standing in for him. With 5 days until the event, I had to think. Sorting through the store's vintage array of media playing devices, I processed the gravity of where I was. In a record store, this one, here, in the now, the present. If Prasad didn't want to talk, perhaps a proprietor of a record store past may be willing to chat. While I filled the time in between, I learned that Second Thoughts had been operating for well over a decade, and at one point faced competition in this small but cutthroat independent record store economy. Yes, before Second Thoughts secured the corner on the independent record store market locally, another record shop opened in 2006 by the name of Meow Records. It, too, slung beats in physical formats to musical enthusiasts all over the community. Despite the store closing after she made her way south, we managed to track down one of the store's former co-owners, now relocated in Vancouver, British Columbia, and reeled them in over the line to speak of this now shuttered, yet storied, retail environment.
So my name is Brenda Ogmundson. Currently, I am a governance office manager for the Provincial Real Estate Association. I was an owner-operator of Meow Records in Prince George from 2006 to 2010.
In the landscape of Prince George, BC, where do you think a record store fits into the culture and fabric of a community? What role should it fill within, say, the Prince George community?
So I think, right, it's going to be more than just selling the goods. I think record stores provide that opportunity to meet other like-minded individuals, and, you know, you gush over your love of random 10 inches or whatever, talk about the band coming to town, learn about new music, and kind of make those connections, even if it's just briefly. Overall, though, I think it kind of depends on who's running the store. So some owners, like the way I did, I took the opportunity to use my store as just another venue in the community. So having that extra space is like a benefit to the local scene. But not all owners will do that, and that's totally fine. Like, as people, we're not the same. I like having a lot of people around. I like coming up with and planning events. Not everybody is like that. So when I had my store, I took the opportunity where I could to support what was going on in the scene. We had so many music shows going on all the time. So I would either just help the band sell their music in the store or their tickets, or put money behind organizations like the Folk Festival, now Cold Snaps, and just like, you know, things like get the Roller Derby League going, providing that space for meetings and planning. There's just so many great things going on. So being able to support where I could as much as I could, either financially with my volunteer efforts or just even providing a space, I think that's an opportunity for where a store, whether it's a record store or any other store, can kind of help fit into that arts and culture fabric and just provide space.
That you were also supporting the emergence of the Roller Derby League is an interesting fact. For example, I can't see that type of thing emerging so well in, say, like a box retail store environment.
That's fair. Yeah. More rules.
Yeah.
Though she no longer owns the store, fond memories remain. Brindis went on to share with us one of her favorite experiences of operating Meow Records, when the humble local retail space and venue won a national contest for the best record store in Canada on Record Store Day in 2008, and was visited by independent music celebrity Chad Van Galen.
It was a really big deal that year, so for me anyway. So I had a bunch of local musicians play, and I did that every year until I sold the store. So I had a stage in my store called the Awkward Stage, and all day I just had local bands in there playing, and like there'd be sales usually, and it was just fun. It was just a fun time. My customers were just the best, so supportive and so fun and so knowledgeable, lots of them. They taught me a lot about music as well.
To further verify the claims of Meow Records' existence, we reached out to an individual referred to by anonymous sources as a former employee and former aspiring musician, now turned storied local musician, Cal Hildy of the band Crones. He delivers a musician's perspective on the importance of local record vendors to local musicians.
Hello.
Hi. As a younger person, I'm going to assume that you were an aspiring musician, as you are currently a musician now. Do you feel that your time in the record stores around Prince George helped you to get where you're at as an accomplished musician?
Yeah, I definitely think so. They play such key parts for musicians as like a hub, a place for them to sell their music, promote their shows, but also to come together, especially when record stores have events. And there's not really anything quite like it. We have stores that sell musical instruments, but they're kind of catered towards musicians as customers. And record stores, I think, function a little bit differently, where it's like the musicians are what is being sold and promoted. They just provide a service you can't really find anywhere else in town, record stores do.
What I'm gathering from this, too, is that the support you find from your local record store isn't necessarily just the monetary aspect of this is a retail space that will sell a record that you record. There's a fair amount of networking and relationship building that occur in these spaces, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I can remember a time that a band was coming in from out of town, and the venue they were going to play at, There were some issues with it, and they couldn't contact the promoter. And they came into Meow Records, and they were like, we don't know where to go. We don't know where to turn to. We still want to play a show tonight. Can you help us out? And the owner, Rendis, was able to like, well, we know people in town that run venues or promoters or play people to get in contact with. So we were able to get them in contact with a different venue, and they were able to put on their show and actually move forward and not have it be just a waste of time coming to town. So it's good for like locals, but it's also becomes a known place for people coming in from out of town. They can go to have that, like, not quite a safe space, but like a known space where you're talking with people that'll understand what you're trying to do and can help you out, or even if it's just provide a friendly face.
After confirming the existence of Meow Records and speaking to Cal Hildy, storied local musician, I bided my time before Saturday's DJ set at Deadfall Brewing, connecting the dots of record stores past and present on the local retail landscape. I was able to return my thoughts to Second Thoughts Buy and Sell, the last remaining independent brick-and-mortar record store in this lonely city emerging out of a boreal forest. Finally, the day arrived. There, at Deadfall Brewing, I renewed my hopes of speaking to Larry and getting the clip. I needed the perspective of a local business owner, embracing recorded music, small business, and free enterprise. Fortunately, the brewery had lured him in. They'd done all the work for me, pulling him out of his store. Surely then, he would be caught off guard enough to speak to me. The brewery was full. Word had gotten out about these soirees. What, with one of the best analog record collections in town, curated live for the audience. From the bustling bodies, it was clear Larry knew how to pick a set list. I could see Larry behind his turntables. But before I could make my way past the crowd inside, brewery co-owner Aaron Berwald intercepted me at the bar, her enthusiasm contagious.
Hi, I'm Aaron Berwald. I am co-owner and vibe coordinator of Deadfall Brewing Company.
You are using your small local business to support yet another small local business, which is a record store, to host an event over here at Deadfall Brewing. Why do you feel it's important to support local record stores?
It's about local and it's about community. Like, it really was vinyl enthusiasts and it really was those record store owners that can talk to you about things that no one else really can. And we feel the same way at Deadfall, that this is a community. You can come here and congregate. Him, Larry at Second Thoughts is incredibly knowledgeable and it really is a community hub. And so we can join forces, and it really is just to foster that two local businesses helping each other out to merge those communities. I think it's really important. I'm not going to speak for Larry, but I'll speak for Larry.
You're going to have to because he doesn't want to be interviewed.
So Larry has said that he really, really likes playing here because people actually, rather than playing in the background, people are coming here to listen to music. And people are coming here to listen to vinyl over 2 or 3 years of this now, and it's been growing progressively time after time. And he now is a small offshoot of his own store that he sells vinyl in the genre that he's playing, but he brought them here. So we acted as a bit of an offshoot, extended his hours for the day, celebrated vinyl, celebrated independent music and local businesses. So really, it's for both Larry and I, it's a total win-win. It's great synergy. This is something Larry and I have been working on for a little while, is to do this offshoot. He even brought a Taylor Swift and Post Malone exclusive. Come on! He's like, I thought you would want this, Aaron. So come on, that's pretty special.
And I'm going to guess that you probably wouldn't be able to get that same kind of connection if you had found that album through a streaming service app or even a download. Am I correct to assume that?
Yeah, there is joy of going through those crates. There is joy of rifling through them and finding that treasure. As I'm talking, I'm doing the hand motion of rifling through vinyl crates. But there is joy in that discovery. And there's joy, like with Larry, if anybody knows Larry, there's also joy of walking into the record shop and him saying, I have something for you. And you're like, oh no, what did you bring in? And he just knows your taste. And so today, yeah, he showed up with two things for me, one a very obscure Noise album and one a Taylor Swift album. And he's like, just for you. So he just knows the spectrum of people's tastes, and that's community. But yeah, we're absolutely packed. So that's great to see.
An overlap success that is benefiting both your businesses right now, which isn't always easy to do as small local business proprietors.
No, it's really not easy to do. Yay! No, it's really not easy to do. It's hard to find that synergy sometimes, and all you have to do is support each other. And like, he has slow periods, we have slow periods, and we've really worked together to, like, how can we help each other through those slow periods? And so this is, it's been awesome. It's been so good. I may spend too much money on vinyl, but...
While the man of the hour remained tight-lipped for the duration of the evening, a perspective emerged regardless. What a record store looks like today versus the record store of the past may have altered. They both exist in a physical reality. And though my hopes of digitally capturing Larry, the Second Thoughts buy and sell proprietor, slipped past the pop filter of my microphone by mere meters as he was barricaded behind the turntables, he did inadvertently take this gumshoe down a trail documenting people in our community touched and inspired by the work and roles a physical record store performs in a community like ours, giving people something to hold on to and to dance to, one record at a time. This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or CFU.
And we have some great record stores here in Vancouver. I hesitate to try and list them because I know there's a lot of them and I don't know all of them and I don't want to be unfair. But almost every part of town has a good local
record store. I'll mention one. I'm not a vinyl person, but there's the Lougheed Mall, and then there's this sort of weird kind of small mall to the west, which is part of, what's it called, Lougheed Village or something? Mm-hmm. And there's a very small little record store there, the vinyl thing. It's sort of like they got a corner store there that's open the same hour as the Walmart. It's more expensive. If it was open all night, then I would go there. But
I live at Lougheed Mall, so I'm not entirely.
Are you a fellow Lougheed heater? I've never seen you walking around there.
I mean, I'm behind the park, so.
All right. So
anyway, that's one of them.
And there are lots. So go out, support your local record store. They still remain great gathering places for music lovers. And it's always fun to just browse the stacks. Stephen Fan's here to talk about the Web Summit. This was happening just last week.
Yeah, it just closed.
Really big.
It was bigish. It feels very vibey, as the kids would say nowadays. Yeah. It's kind of like Vancouver CES, right? Like every big city has now got their annual kind of like big tech confab where all like the viral marketers go like vultures.
So you were there all week.
Yeah, pretty much.
And you checked out a lot of stuff. So you're going to give us some highlights today because you got a bunch of interviews and
about
different things that will be coming forth.
Yeah, it's going to be a very full pipeline. But there's some really cool highlights. So first off, I spoke to this lady who is from Georgia, the country. And she's working on... So she's like almost like a therapist. She does a program across the world, and so in Southern Africa, in Georgia, in various other countries to prevent sexual abuse of children. And the way she does this is to to essentially try and find five trusted adults, or to make sure the children know that they have trusted adults. And she's trying to find like a web or like the tech application of this to make it more streamlined and effective. The name eludes me right now, but I post it later. But it's an amazing work, and I spoke to her, and it's really interesting. I spoke to some sort of... I also went to a bunch of side events. So one thing that's kind of really interesting in the tech space right now that's happening, it's not just AI, but it's also stuff like VR, which is virtual reality.
Yeah.
So it's the goggles where you wear on your head. It's also the Meta Ray-Ban glasses and stuff like that. And I think the state of VR technology, AR technology, AR being augmented reality, is that it's not just the technology has progressed really fast in the past year or two. It's also the state of that technology has converged somewhat. It used to be such a enthusiast kind of a hobbyist kind of a thing. You have one product go off in one tangent, the other product go off in another tangent. They don't really look anything alike.
Right.
And, of course, I think last year or something like that, Apple released their famous and shockingly expensive Vision Pro. the sales didn't do great, but it was kind of a nice catalyst. But now this year, Google will be releasing their own version of the Vision Pro, which is hopefully apparently to be cheaper. But so the main thing is